everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, engineering and producing the show. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Can't believe it. I finally have some company with me in studio. We are still safe distancing. We've got the plexiglass up between our guests, but it's kind of nice to look your guest in the eye, and that's what we'll be doing here in a few moments in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on this Friday, June the 5th, 2020. We are, of course, live each day during the noon hour on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Our media partners want to thank. We thank them every Friday. TucsonSentinel.com, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. That's Dan Shear's organization. Dan's with me in studio. Hey, Dan.
Hey.
The Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oral Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Bill.
Joining us in the conversation with Mr. Huckleberry, Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, an editorial director for about two dozen newspapers, all in the western United States for the Sierra Vista-based WIC Publishers Group. Mr. Huckleberry, the last time I saw you here in studio, I think you were about one of our last interviews before we did the shutdown here at KVOI and made the program entirely telephonic. And at that time, it was kind of early to mid-March. We didn't really know what was ahead of us. We sure know now and how the world has changed, huh?
We certainly do, Bill. We had our first case on March the 9th.
Mm-hmm. And, it was about, I think that was the right around when we had you on the show.
I think you're right. And So you're right. The world has turned upside down since then.
And your first case has turned into what?
Well, we now have significant number of cases in Pima County. And what I think is more concerning to us, and we're looking at this very carefully now, is that the daily infection rates have gone up fairly significantly since we keep track of this every day, and it's also on the state website. But previously, some of our highest days were, 78 new infections in a day or 60. Well, just in the last 4 days from June the 2nd, we've had 114. The third, 131, the fourth, 42, which is, we were bumping along 30s and 40s previously, and then the number reported today is 214. Now, we need to couch that in some language that really reflects testing. In the prior month, we'll say even into April and March, it was very difficult to get testing. In April, we were probably running about, on average, 1,500 tests a week. Right now, we're running on average between 7,000 and 8,000 tests a week, so you're naturally going to pick up more infections. The more important issue for us is really, are hospitalizations increasing or are deaths increasing? Hospitalizations have taken a slight uptick, and we're watching that very closely. Deaths have not. And so it's something that we're watching and looking at very carefully. And the question is, can you attribute all of these increases simply to testing? And probably not. They have a lot to do with Mother's Day, Memorial Day, and loosening restrictions. I think that what's important is that people need to understand that just because restrictions are lifted, they still need to take all of the precautions, the physical distancing, the mask in public, all the things that we stressed before. We have to double stress now because it's even more important to practice those safe practices while you're in public.
Here's Dan Shear.
But infections in relation to testing actually would be down quite a bit, wouldn't it?
Well, we were always looking at trying to say testing to infection rate, like to get it to about 3%. When you look at it now, it's bumped up just in the last few days. And again, what I keep stressing to everybody, don't look at the data yesterday. Look at it for the entire week because you're going to see some variability as it gets corrected as time passes. And so we're probably in the 6 to 7 to 9% infection to test rate right now in several days. And so that is, again, higher than we'd like to see it. We'd like to see it below 5%. If you just look at the state's website, on May 31st, it was running 9%. So that is a little concern, as back in April, it was running, the last week in April, it was running 4%. And then it was the next week in May, 3%. And the following week, about, 3 and 2%. So it's bumped up just recently.
We've had some interesting conversations within our company about how to, across the 11 states that we're operating in, how do we present the numbers, and we want to present them in context. So in this case, if you were to say that infections are up, may be accurate, but it's misleading if you stop there. And again, no one is saying that they should stop with the precautions and back off and feel good about this. We get that. But to suggest, and I know you're not doing this, but to suggest there's a second wave coming, or that we're still maybe at the top or not even the top of the hump here, is not correct.
And I think that's correct. To predict that we're in a second wave just on 3 days where the data is not good. We know that just simply the infection to symptoms to testing to reporting, that's a 10 to 14-day lag. So what we're really seeing in these infection rates are what happened a couple of weeks ago.
And then you want to take this next step of contact tracers. You want to hire 127 of them. Explain exactly what this is all about.
One of the key measures of, we'll say, infection control and keeping epidemics from becoming pandemics is to basically early on identify those individuals who are infected, isolate them and treat them so that they have less probability of infecting others with, in this case, COVID-19. So it's really important that we have an adequate staff to actually go back and talk to the people who are infected, try and figure out where they've been, try and notify those folks who they've been in contact with, or take some precautions. So if they, in fact, exhibit symptoms, please isolate yourself and get tested and get a medical help. And so the whole concept of contact tracing is, how do you quickly establish a process so which those who are infected get isolated and get treated, and so they have less probability of spreading the disease.
Where are we with the whole reopening in Pima County? We had Steve Kasachek on the program Wednesday. He's going to recommend to the mayor and the council that there be an indefinite extension of the city's emergency order, which was supposed to expire, I think, June 8th, which means they'll continue with people working at all city employees, if possible, working at home, and the city's parks being basically closed. Where are we? Give us the overview. We all know about the restaurants and the where that stands right now, but other than the restaurants, where are we?
Well, I think the important point is that in large part, Pima County never closed or never really. We have a whole cadre of essential employees that basically anywhere from our utility workers in the wastewater to our transportation workers to our law enforcement officers or those who work in our detention facility. We have start to, pull back and get people back in. We've taken extraordinary measures to protect the workforce. You see a little sticker on my shirt.
Yeah, what is that?
That means I got my temperature taken this morning before I came to work. And,
wow.
And I got my wellness check that says I can go into the workforce.
Huh.
And so those kind of precautions, and like I say, you can't stop what is occurring. But what you can do is try and protect yourself and your employees from becoming infected. And I think one of the things that we need to know is that sooner or later, we are going to have to open back up. Essentially, we are in Arizona because mm-hmm. the governor lifted the stay-at-home order.
And realistically, Dan and Mr. Huckleberry, the governor is not going to reimpose statewide restrictions. It isn't going to happen, as far as I'm concerned. Wouldn't you kind of agree with that, Dan?
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when they're trying to woo the Republican National Convention
right.
for Arizona. It's not going to happen.
No.
The genie is out of the bottle, and we have to live with this, unfortunately, with this pandemic, by taking the precautions we're all trying to do.
Yeah, I think it's so important to stress that just because the stay-at-home order has been lifted, you don't discard the practices that were so important during the stay-at-home order. You wash your hands. You don't go to work if you're sick. You don't leave the house if you're sick. You practice physical distancing. You wear a mask when you're in public, and you frequently use hand sanitizer or wash your hands. Those type of practices will minimize the spread of COVID-19, and now it's even more important than ever to practice those things every day.
Dan?
There's a lot of money coming our way from the CARES Act. I know Tucson has about $96 million, and this is money that is supposed to be for coronavirus-related expenditures incurred by, you know, the county or the city. Tucson's getting a little creative on theirs, maybe pushing some envelopes. What do you plan to do with this money, and how much is it?
Well, Pima County received about $87 million and a little more in the CARES Act. Most of our money so far has been dedicated directly to what we call unbudgeted COVID-19 expenses. For example, we've probably processed 11,000 virus tests, the PCR test, that cost about $150 a piece. So you do the math, there's a couple million dollars just simple in testing. That's going on continuously, and we're now ramping up to do even our own testing, let alone what the hospitals or medical providers do, probably between, you know, 1,000 and 3,000 tests a week. So that's a lot of where our money's going. We're looking at exactly what everybody else is doing with regard to small business assistance. We don't believe we need to be the pioneer. We need to believe that we're doing things cautiously and that they'll pass the test of an audit. That obviously will come through once the money's been spent.
The federal government's going to trace that money. Come on. Everybody's going to be on a subject to audit that gets it, I would think.
You're absolutely right. I've been through many, many federal audits. And, you know, one of the things that's been talked about as well, there's frequently asked questions that are issued by Treasury that are trying to interpret the law, trying to interpret what Congress passed. I can tell you that being on the other end of an audit, the auditor doesn't have in his hand the frequently asked questions. He's got in his hand what Congress actually said the money could be used for. So we've been extraordinarily careful to make sure that as we use this money, it is exactly as intended for in the law, not necessarily what might have been interpreted in the frequently asked questions. Now, that's a conservative approach, but I've been audited enough and had to pay back federal funds through grants because someone interpreted something differently that we actually approach us very cautiously.
Dan, did you want to do a quick follow-up before I take the break?
Let's take a break. I got a brand new subject when
we
come back.
Okay, great. We'll take the break in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We continue with our conversation with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Dan Scheer with me as well in studio. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry is with us in studio, and Dan Scheer is here as well from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan Scheer, go ahead.
Well, if you're like the rest of us, we've all had employees working off-site, and some do telecommuting better than others. How has it worked out with the county? Is it something that you would allow maybe some employees to do permanently, or has it been maybe not a good thing?
Well, I think, Bill, we've learned a lot of lessons from it. Obviously, we weren't prepared. We previously allowed people to telecommute if they had typically a medical reason. They were recovering from surgery, or they were doing other things, and they could telecommute, meaning they had the capability to connect and all the things that they did. So in that respect, we went from almost nobody telecommuting to probably 2,000 employees telecommuting overnight. And when you do that, nothing ever works perfect. And in this particular case, I think it in some cases, telecommuting is just fine. What everybody has to remember is that a county, a local government, is a public service organization, and it's hard to do public service telecommuting. So in some respects, we will probably have staff who continue to telecommute, some on a rotating basis, some even permanently. But in large part, I would say that probably not more than 10% of the whole workforce will ever telecommute on any regular basis.
And you sure can't telecommute, Dan, doing road work.
No. Speaking of which, we have some projects they're going to start up in Green Valley. We're pretty excited about that. But how did or will pay-as-you-go work over the next couple of years, given what's happened over the last 3 months? Is it going to be affected, or the roads going to be fixed?
I think the roads are going to be fixed. And what I recommended to the board in the final budget adoption, which is about the third week in June, is that we forego PAYGO for 1 year, which means that we're going to give that money that would have been dedicated to PAYGO back to the taxpayer, meaning that we'll reduce the tax rates accordingly. But I've also said is what we need to do is jumpstart our pavement repair program by actually going out and doing a very small 5-year borrowing so that we can actually increase the pavement repair program from about $25 million a year to next year being about $56 million. So we're actually doubling it.
So is PAYGO gone?
No, PAYGO's not gone. It's just been deferred for 1 year. It'll be right back in the next budget year. And it will depend upon the reaction of the tax base to the COVID-19 pandemic. If if we recover fairly quickly, frankly, there'll be no impact on the tax base because our tax rates and base are set once a year in January. If it has an adverse effect, then we'll have to think about how do we structure PAYGO. But at least what I've told the board is it's just a one-year deferral. It is not any giving up on PAYGO in the long term.
This whole thing with COVID broke as you were doing the numbers for the spending plan for the fiscal year, which begins July 1st. Is this budget that will formally be adopted here in a few days, how is it different from what you had envisioned, say, back in January?
Well, it's down about $70 million in revenues and about 300 employees. And
wow.
So that's the impact.
Wow.
Well, 300. But you had been dropping the number of employees every year for quite a while.
We have. And so this is just, kind of moving more in that direction. Because if you think of a county, probably 70% of our expenses are personnel related.
And then what about projects like the Sarita Library? Are big things like that still moving forward?
They're all moving forward. Sarita Library is under construction or about to be under construction. I hope that we'll have some type of telecommuted groundbreaking ceremony down there very soon. But the big projects are all moving. The library district is funded, and I've recommended the board to keep that tax rate the same because we're actually in the phase of three major renovations or new libraries, one in Vail, one in Sarita, and some renovations. And so those are all going to continue.
Will this budget impact? I like to budget my own personal budget, Dan and Mr. Huckleberry. I like to put a little money aside every month for the property taxes. Should I be changing my budget?
You might be able to spend a little bit more of your money because your property tax will more than likely either stay the same or go down. And that's because we're dropping the combined tax rate 25 cents per hundred. And so 17 cents of that drop comes from the secondary debt service and the rest of it comes from the primary. So my guess is that most taxpayers are going to see a slight decrease. You know, it's not a huge amount of money, but it's not an increase.
In all of this, did anybody in Pima County lose their job? Not a furlough or anything like that, but lose their job?
At this point, Dan, very, very few. We had some planned layoffs. And those layoffs have not materialized. They've typically turned into retirements. And so at this point, I would say probably not. The biggest impact has been to our intermittent employees, those employees that we employ on a part-time basis. Best example, Stadium District, when we're having events. We have a lot of event coordinators and folks that we hire. Obviously, those folks haven't been working since the pandemic.
Let's talk now about the restaurants and the restrictions and the whole dust up over this. In hindsight, was it a mistake not to just have gone along with what the governor had said?
I don't think so. I think what has happened is that our proposed regulations of the restaurant industry were blown way out of proportion. They were basically consistent with, and we've proven that in our response to the Attorney General regarding the first complaint from legislators. And they actually loosened up. They got better because the board listened to the input that they got from the industry and made specific modifications to accommodate them. We have not heard of anyone, we've gotten some complaints, but those complaints come mostly from having people, too many people in a building. They're typically bar events. And basically, we've not got hardly any from restaurants.
Generally, people are dining outside, too, if they can.
A lot of dining outside. And you got to remember that we not only suggested guidelines that became, you got to have something in your food code. Well, that's where we put it. And we actually loosened up a lot of restrictions. We actually went in and expanded what we call premises or outside of the premises dining so that you could significantly expand outside dining without any rules or regulations. So in that respect, we probably loosened our regulations. And if you look at the guidelines, they're just that. If you violate them, all you do, only thing that happens is you get turned into us. We go talk to you, explain why you should be doing this guideline first time.
But you weren't arrested or taken downtown.
You aren't arrested. You aren't taken to jail. You aren't fined. The second violation, we do basically the same thing, although we talk to you a little, with a little more stern attitude. The third time, we just simply post on our website that we've talked to you twice and you're still not compliant. So that's the end of the penalty.
But you really still are beyond what the state required.
I don't think so. I think what you, if you get down and compare each one, the state said implement social distancing. Well, what does that mean? All we said is here's what social distancing means, 6 foot separations. So it's going from the generic to the specific, which I don't think is more restrictive.
But the initial plan did call for a fine.
The initial plan did, and that was more restrictive. And so that has been removed by the board.
And calling ahead to a fast food restaurant, that was a little weird.
That was a significant oversight on our
Hello,
part.
McDonald's, I'll be by.
That's what happens when you make legislation in the space of, 3 days.
Go ahead, Dan. I've got a couple more minutes.
Okay, I want to talk about a memo you sent out that just cracked me up, because you acknowledge publicly what we all have known, and that is that departments in government go on spending sprees as the budget year is winding up. And you said, hey, that better not happen this year. And now it's really, it's legendary with the feds. And they want to spend it so that, of course, they can prove that they need it and they don't get cut the next year. But you really got out in front of that. And so I'm glad, and I sense it won't happen this year, but is it going to happen next year? And did it happen last year? I mean, this is kind of a joke.
It has. And, it's the typical, use it or lose it philosophy. And what we've said is you need to conserve it so that you don't have to lay your staff off next year. That's the whole purpose, is don't spend money, I won't say irresponsibly, but don't spend it just because you have it. If you save it, you're going to get rewarded, because basically I'm going to look more kindly on your budget next year and not force you to do things that you might not want to do with regard to people and laying people off. And I think it's worked. I think we expect to carry over more money than we would have as we go through this budget process of getting all our expenditures in line and figuring out where we actually are on June 30th.
Is this the first time you've ever made a pronouncement like this?
This is the first time I put it in writing.
Okay.
And the first time I said I'm serious.
Okay.
Now, what about your own future? your contract, I believe, is up in January. You're just going to kind of see how it plays out.
I take this job one day at a time.
Well, look at this year. I mean, here we're starting June. It feels like 2020 has already gone on for 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. No, I'll, like I said, I'll make a decision sooner or later.
And I have one quick question about Green Valley. For the last 5 years, we're in the fifth year of a five-year contract. You give Green Valley Council, which has no official authority but lots of influence, and they do a lot of work for the county. You give them $75,000 a year. That is up at the end of this year. Any chance that it's going to be renewed?
I will recommend that it be renewed.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they've been invaluable as a conduit for communication, conduit for cooperation. So that is a resource that needs to continue.
It has taken a hit, I know, of some people who are very critical of it, but I remember when it initially was, the contract was out there, you said, look, it's actually going to cost us less money by doing it this way.
Yeah, if I have to basically hire employees, pay EREs, and pay retirement, and pay everything else, paying the Green Valley Council the money we pay them is a bargain.
All right, Mr. Huckleberry, we'll let you put on your mask. We do take our masks off here. It just doesn't work on the radio to speak through the mask, but we'll let you put on your mask, which says Pima County on it.
Pima
there.
County.
That's very cool.
Thank you.
And thank you very much. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
All right, Dan Scheer will stick around with me. We've got some stories we want to talk about. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's really nice after 2.5 months. I mean, John, I love you and everything on the other side of the glass there, but you've been my only companion here on the program along with Tom Fairbanks on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it's good to have a few folks back in the studio. And we've got these really neat little plexiglass things in front of our microphones. Anyway, Dan Scheer is here with me in studio, editor of the Green Valley News, and Sahorita San, and he's very much been busy before the pandemic, traveling to nearly two dozen. I think it's 26 now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Publications with the WIC publication group, and so you've had to cut back on travel, so you've been like pretty much on the phone with all the papers, right?
Oh, I tell you, I was on the phone with three different papers just this morning.
South Dakota?
South Dakota was one of them. Minnesota was one of them. We got them all over.
So we heard Mr. Huckleberry talking about these numbers, and a lot of people are very concerned, and I understand why, and Facebook has just been exploding with I told you so, and this is what happens when you open too early, and the governor needs to clamp down again on Arizona. As I said in the interview with Mr. Huckleberry, it's not going to happen. There is not going to be, we're under still this curfew
right.
that expires, I guess, on Monday or something.
Yes.
But he's not going to reimpose anything for COVID-19.
It would have to be something incredibly overwhelming and unforeseen at this point for him to back off on it. And I think people might openly violate it. As, by the way, we saw a couple of police agencies say with the curfew, as just there are a couple of them way out in the middle of nowhere who said, yeah, we don't have problems. We're not going to run our people back into their homes at 8 o'clock. And so, and really the curfew was a tool to use for the police on those who are gathering in downtown areas.
So it is, and you've pointed out before on this program that the nursing homes have just been so hard hit by this.
Right, and we were looking at two of them, and we ran the story a little bit ago, and between the two, they had 15 deaths, and all 15 people were on hospice. They were dying anyway. And so to say, you know, X amount of people have died from COVID is not quite completely accurate because of the comorbidities. And a lot of these people would have died anyway, not as soon. It certainly was a contributing factor, and I'm not downplaying it.
No, you're not at all.
But I am saying that a 1,000 people, if we're talking about this, say, next year, and we had 1,000 people die in Arizona, I can guarantee you that without COVID, most of those 1,000, or a lot of them, I should say, would not be with us anyway. And so we need to just really be honest in how we present the facts of this.
And there is a financial incentive for a hospital to report that they have a COVID patient.
Well, you know, we ran a fact check on
that. Is
that
true or
recently?
Not? I mean, I've heard that. Do they get extra money if it's a COVID case?
Well, someone had made a statement that had been misconstrued that way. And I think other than having someone under roof, I don't know that a COVID case is actually going to get you in anything more. So no, hospitals are not profiting from this.
Okay, I'm glad. Because I've heard that before.
Sure. And that had gone around. And that's one of those things where, you know what, folks, we have more information than ever before at our fingertips. Just when you hear something like that, start rooting around and you'll find the facts. You will.
The pandemic has touched just about everything, even the observatories.
Yes, we were talking to several observatories and then several researchers. And of course, some of them can do stuff remotely. And that's a good thing. But as far as going up to, you know, Whipple, or which is in our area, or other places, its research has stopped. And so, you know, whereas maybe you were doing 1,200 hours a year of observations and research, now you're doing 400 or 500 because of what's been, you know, hit this in the last couple of months. So this has really been affected. And there's a long line to get time on some of these telescopes. And if it's a cloudy night, you know, you're usually out of luck. And then in this case, too, people weren't traveling here to use these telescopes. So a lot of research has been paused. They have other things they can do. They are busying themselves with that. But the deep research that they really want to do has been affected.
Green Valley, very much, of course, a high-risk area for COVID. Do you see are you starting to see more and more people out and about on the golf courses, and are they wearing masks?
I think they always were out on the golf courses because it was
never cut short.
Okay. And some were demanding their own golf carts, but they like to do that anyway. So I don't know how much that had to do with COVID, but we are seeing a lot of people flooding back to some of the stores. Ross is one of them. Walmart, I sense, has never really slowed down. Lots of masks, but it depends. I've got people sending me photos and videos from restaurants that they think are too packed, full of people, and they're not happy with that. And so we've certainly have that going on, and I think that's going on everywhere. But again, as I've told people, you come to the door of a restaurant, you look in, you don't like what you see, turn around and leave. If you want to make a phone call, as Chuck said, a lot of the stuff is in the health code and they will jump on it. So there are ways that you can deal with it. The best one is just to leave there if you don't like what's going on.
How is the arts community of Tubac handling this? You mentioned very few tourists, so that's got to have hurt.
Definitely. About 2 months ago, I went there and it was a ghost town.
Yeah.
And I found one family visiting from Denver.
Wow.
We went back last week and about 50% of the businesses are open to the public. A lot of them have remained open, but on appointment only, or they're doing a lot of online stuff. And some have found that the online stuff just doesn't work when it comes to art. People want to see the art they're buying in person. But they're getting back there. They're waiting for some more benchmarks to be hit before they'll do things like opening the public restrooms right in the middle of the place. There is a different one that people can go to. But we went there. My wife and I took some friends there recently, and it was it's getting there. It's getting there, but it's going to be a long slog because, you know, they missed out on big part of their season, and they're in the doldrums of summer.
Ed Alexander from our morning show went down there last weekend to celebrate his wedding anniversary at the Tubac Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great experience. He was showing me some pictures, and the room rate, it looked like a beautiful room and a very reasonable room, just a little bit north of $100 a night. So,
right.
Yeah.
And they had really, by the way, stepped up and helped their employees, and a lot of the people in Tubac also did because they had to lay off a lot of them, and they do a great job there, and they really supported their employees through all of this, and it's good to see that bouncing back and to get that report out of there. But we've been to other places like Aravaca, which is generally not an arts community or anything like that. But you know what they found was a lot of out-of-state people were visiting because going to the lakes and stuff because they needed a break from the restrictions in California or even around here. But they were just inundated with people, and it was really surreal.
One thing canceled that a lot of people not happy about, the White Elephant Parade.
Oh, boy. This was going to be our 56th annual parade. It has been canceled twice before. Once was rain, and another time was they have a fair that goes with it, and the building where it was normally held had just been sold. And so this is only the third cancellation, and a parade is a year-round project, and you've got to get permits, and you've got to line up bands, and people weren't sure what was going to be going on with the schools, and then can people build floats and whatever. It's not like you you decide you're going to have a parade next week. So they made the call, and the White Elephant itself is last year they gave out $1.7 million to dozens of organizations, a lot of them in our area, and of course they have been closed for a couple of months, and we're wondering how that's going to be affected when they write their checks at the end of the year, and obviously it's going to hurt.
Early ballots go out in just a few weeks. I have never seen in my 50 plus years in the business, obviously, a year like this, and how it will play with elections. My gut feeling is that incumbents with any kind of name recognition have the inside track.
Absolutely. I've seen a lot of online debates and watched several of them, and forums, and I'm glad at least those are out there. But again, people like to go see the candidates, and if there's not an opportunity for that, they'll just bypass it, and you're right, probably just lean on the past. So I would agree that the incumbents probably have it. We have interviewed quite a few candidates starting Sunday. We're going to be writing a lot more about them. But you know what? This was like a 2.5 month pause on all the stuff that was important, and we were really gearing up for the election because we've got lots going on in our community and with the council and the board of supervisors and that, and we have been distracted, shall we say.
Well, the three-way race for Pima County Attorney, this is like the general election because the winner of this race among the three Democrats running is going to be the next Pima County Attorney.
Right.
Because there is no Republican challenger, and Barbara LaWalla is retiring after, I believe, 24 years.
24 years.
It's a big deal. And we're bringing all three,
huge.
By the way. One of our Friday Focus interviews will be all three with me in studio. I think it's either the 10th or the 17th, but we'll have them here as a face-to-face kind of, not a debate, but just a conversation.
Sure, and you're going to be hearing a lot about reform and a lot about keeping low-level drug offenders out of out of jail and throwing more money toward rehabilitation. And those are some good ideas in practicality. How do they work? But the county already has the DTAP program, which is in essence a kind of a diversion program to keep people out of prison who have drug issues, because we do know that those people just keep cycling in and out, in and out. And I know that there is, among the two candidates I spoke to, a great passion to try to deal with that. Drug addiction is a beast, and it's going to be a real tough one. So we'll see what they want to do beyond what Barbara LaWall has already done, which has been some remarkable work on this.
We're also one of the Fridays in July. We'll have all three of the Republican candidates for CD number 2. And again, this is a case, these are basically all newcomers. One had run before, but again, name ID is going to be a big deal. This is the group that wants to face off against the incumbent Ann Kirkpatrick.
Right. And again, as she has had some personal issues this year, and I hope that those don't become campaign issues, but you have a lot of people who initially wanted that seat, and now it's down to these three, and we'll see how this plays out. But it's a tough district for her. But did this virus change everything? And I think you're onto something very important in that.
Yeah, and again, ballots will be going out, early ballots, in really just a matter of weeks. I mean, the first week of summer is 2 weeks from tomorrow. I mean, this is like the year that, whoa, whatever happened here. Anything you would like to promote in your papers coming up this weekend?
Well, while you're on that, I'll jump ahead to July 1st. We're doing a special section on the primary, and then we're going to do one later on for the general election. And we did these in 2018, and they're very popular. And there's a lot of jockeying back and forth. A lot of candidates are trying to get some attention here in a world that it's has been made more difficult.
Yeah.
And so we're doing an awful lot of that, but we are doing a story this weekend on contact tracing. And we were talking to, of course, the county administrator about that very thing.
Yeah, and there's a very heated race for Richard, the late Richard Elias's Pima County Supervisor post. That's a very important race on the Democratic side. There'll be a primary then. We'll have, I think we've got Adelita Grijalva on Tuesday, and then
Hernandez.
Hernandez will be with us on Monday. So lots coming up. We're trying to do our bit to keep people informed. Dan Shear, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up next, Weekend Watch with Mr. Matt Russell after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Alrighty then, I am so happy to hear that music. That means the weekend is here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, who are waiting right now with open arms to welcome you back to a beautiful area where social distancing is it is the social distancing capital by going out in the Gila National Wilderness and doing some hiking. I don't think you're going to have to worry about keeping 6 feet apart. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for great list of things to do and places to stay. And did I say, here's the good one. It's elevation 5,000 to 7,000 feet. It's cooler, like about 10 degrees cooler. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. And I tell you what, that 10-degree drop in temperature at Silver City certainly feels great when you're at 107 here in town, right?
You better believe it. Mid-90s for the highs in Silver City. Any news, Matt, about the reopening of the downtown kitchen and cocktails?
Yeah, this is exciting, Bill. You know, today is the day, in fact, that Janos Wilder fans like me have been waiting weeks for. It's the reopening of Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails on South 6th Avenue. It all starts at 5 o'clock tonight. Now, the restaurant team has taken extraordinary measures to maintain a clean and safe environment. They've reconfigured the seating. They've eliminated the shared plates and the bread service. But they've also launched several new dishes to kind of welcome the summer season. A couple of examples, the chilled mango gazpacho with a mint syrup, and pan-fried and cornmeal-dusted catfish with fried oysters. You know,
ooh,
it's no longer just takeout, Bill. Enjoy some social distance dining this weekend at Downtown Kitchen.
Good news. Tourism is starting to return. And guess who is leading the way? Local people, Matt Russell.
You better believe it. And here is another great reason to get out of the house this weekend. It is the Park, Play, and Extend Your Stay program at the recently reopened Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort. Now, you've been stuck inside for far too long. So head up to Lowe's and enjoy free parking for the night, a gorgeous room, some R&R by the pool. They're going to give you $25 in credit for food and beverage for use at four of their delicious outlets, and late checkout the next day, all starting at just $159.
Wow.
What? You could call 299-2020 to book your staycation at Lowe's Ventana this weekend. You may even see me poolside with a mojito in hand.
Speaking of reopenings and returning to kind of business as usual, any news on the casino?
Yeah, with new property-wide safety protocols in place, the Casino del Sol has joined the ranks of those that have reopened. They reopened just a few days ago, and that includes not only the gaming floors with appropriate social distancing, of course, but also a lot of the on-site restaurants that have made the Casino del Sol such a great destination for foodies. Now, one of them is the PY Steakhouse, of course, and one of the things that you must try is the chef's Trust Me tasting menu, where Chef Rod Ledesma prepares a surprise five-course meal for you with wine pairings for only $110, or you can upgrade to an eight-course meal with wines for a corresponding bump in price. Are you kidding me? An eight-course wine dinner? I'll put my trust in Chef Rod for that. You should put your trust in the PY Steakhouse and put it on your calendar this weekend.
And trust me, there is a column in Inside Tucson Business as well.
What a wonderful coincidence. Now, there are some tacos that are trending in town these days, but the catch is they're only available at the restaurant that makes them a couple of hours after they close for the day. What? If you are totally confused, just read my story in this week's Inside Tucson Business, and it'll all become very clear.
And if anybody knows tacos, it's Matt Russell. Thank you, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks for everything.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by my German friend, Chris Stefan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, everyone here at KVOI, including engineer and producer John Couch, the entire team at Bustos Media here in Tucson. All of us have the same wish for you. Our wonderful listeners, have a safe, healthy, and very pleasant weekend.